Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs, please. Proverbs chapter 29 this morning will be our scripture text. We're going to read three verses this morning in Proverbs 29. We're going to read verse 6, verse 8, and verse 25. I will read aloud as you read silently. That's verse 6, verse 8, and verse 25. Proverbs chapter 29, we're going to read verse 6, 8, and 25. Please stand to your feet this morning in honor of God's word. As we read the word of God together this morning, Proverbs chapter 29, beginning at verse 6. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice. Verse 8, scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. Then verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for our pastor who faithfully preaches to us. God, we'd ask thy Holy Spirit power be upon him this morning as he comes and preaches the word of God to us. Help us this morning, Father. We're needy people. We need to hear from heaven. Now, Father, if there's one in this room that does not know for sure they're going to heaven when they die, I pray today they would accept Jesus Christ as their Savior to save them to heaven. In Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, let me begin by making my usual Sunday morning speech concerning cell phones. Turn them off or turn them to vibrate. If you'll turn around and look over here, see these people in this booth right back here? They have blow dart guns. And if your phone goes off in the service, they're very accurate mostly, and they'll zap you and you'll be paralyzed the rest of your life. And so it's really not worth it. So please make sure that they go out. Now, the other thing I'm going to ask you to do is this. Look at me this morning. I'm going to ask you to sit very still and listen very carefully today. Nobody needs to get up and go out of the room for any reason unless there's a medical reason why you need to. Other than that, just sit still and listen carefully for these next few moments. You notice three times we read three passages out of that book of Proverbs and it mentioned a snare. You see that? The 29th chapter of Proverbs, verse 6 says, in the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. Verse number 8, scornful men bring a city into a snare. Verse 25, it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Now listen carefully. A snare was a trap that was intended to catch the prey or victim, but to keep it alive. Now some things were meant to kill the prey so they could just eat it, etc. But a snare was always meant to keep its victim alive, always. Because then they would catch these animals or critters or whatever the case may be. They would catch them, make them pets, or they'd take them home and kill them later on. But the idea was to have live prey, a snare. Very simple, very basic truth this morning. Listen to me carefully. But the Bible tells us that we have to be careful lest we fall into the snare of Satan. The devil has means today whereby he can capture people in their lives, not to destroy their life, to kill them, just to keep them alive as his own little personal pets and toys. I want you to look at me this morning. There are people in this room, if you don't listen to what this preacher says today, you're going to miss a very important truth. But more importantly than that, you're going to miss the fact that you are ensnared and maybe not even realizing. We're going to look at the three snares in Proverbs this morning and how it works. Now look, here there are people, I guarantee you, who will say, well, Pastor Johnson, now I want everybody to sit up and look at me, okay, unless you're sick and you have to lean over. Other than that, I want you to sit up and look at me. I promise I won't go to your house and put my head down on the couch. You don't come to church and put your head down on a chair, okay? You look at me. Now listen very carefully. You see, you have to understand something, dear people. Satan is a master at what he does in entrapping people in their lives. Now sometimes he desires, the Bible says he is as a roaring lion, who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So sometimes Satan is like a lion who desires to just destroy and kill and tear people's lives apart. That's true. But also sometimes the Bible says Satan is a master at providing a snare with the simple intention of capturing people in their lives just to hold them, the Bible says, captive at his will. I'm not talking about demonic possession. I am talking about the fact that Satan, and by the way, this snare, you'll find the same snare mentioned in the book of Timothy when God spoke to a young preacher and warned Timothy two times in the book of Timothy to be careful and to warn people that God's people would not fall into one of Satan's snares either. Capturing folks with the intention of holding on to their lives simply for the sheer pleasure of holding them captive. Look at Proverbs 29 with me, and I want you to keep your Bibles open, follow carefully. Verse number 6, in the transgression of an evil man, the Bible says there is a snare. Transgression in the Bible is another expression for sin. Sin is a snare that Satan provides for people. Look, some of you this morning, I was watching some faces, and you were laughing at the music we were singing today. You thought it was funny. I guess you maybe it was a joke. I know it's not the kind of stuff that people are used to when they're listening. They certainly listen to the world's music. But it was very good music this morning. It was God-honoring music. It was Christ-honoring music. It was music that would have nurtured your spirit, not your flesh. Now look here. Do you understand something this morning, dear people? This idea of Satan providing a snare by using sin in people's lives. The truth is, he uses sin. The Bible says, now look at the verse again, please. It says, in the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. Transgression means to go against what the Bible tells us. Violate the simple rules of God's word. Guidelines, direction, law, whether it be thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, those type of laws that are very basic. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that is written on the law on the hearts of every individual. Or it's anything else that the Bible teaches, a transgression, in the transgression of an evil man, the Bible says there's a snare. When I choose to sin, knowing I'm violating the word of God or violating the conscience God has given me, there is a snare involved in that. In other words, it captures me. Can it destroy my life? Absolutely. But also, it can just hold on to you. What most people call, and unfortunately, most people call disease nowadays. Isn't it amazing how everything today that's an addiction is now a disease? You're not addicted to alcohol. You have the disease of alcoholism. It's the only disease I've ever heard of that's created by opening bottles. And I grew up in an alcoholic's home, okay? So I am not being insensitive to the point. I'm simply saying this. You drink enough booze, you'll get addicted to it. It will ensnare you. Now, there are some people today, their snare in sin is the snare to the fleshly things, the carnal things. Immorality or drugs or alcohol or those sorts of things. Hey, they're getting snared on the internet. Getting snared by things because they're watching. It's the percentage of people in America today who look at pornography on the internet is embarrassing. It's incredible. It's amazing how many people now have become addicted or got involved in pornography through the internet. And it ensnares them. Oh, yes. Captures them in their life, holds on to them. The truth of the matter is, in the transgression of an evil man is a snare. And for some people, that's carnal, fleshly things. Hey, for some people, that's something just as simple, but as dangerous as a bad temper. Emotions they cannot control. Passions they have no control over in their life. You've been driving down the road, seen someone just cut somebody off in an incident or something that happens, and a person just loses it. I mean, ballistically loses it. Gets out of the car, tries to tear the door off of this car, and absolutely loses control in their life. They're ensnared by their temper and their passions. In the transgression of an evil man is a snare. For some people, that's the snare of fleshly things or carnal things. For some people, it's the transgression of a false religion. You might as well try. It's easier to get someone off cocaine than to get somebody off a false religion, because they're addicted to their religion. Their loyalty is to their religion over what the Bible says. And you can sit down with them and explain to them, for instance, that salvation is by grace through faith, that Jesus Christ paid for the gift of eternal life. cost him his precious blood. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And make it clear from the word of God that salvation is all of grace, it's all of God, it's all of a gift, and you are saved by faith in Christ alone. And then they say, yeah, but that's not what my church teaches. See, that's a transgression. When your religion violates the Bible, the Bible's right, the religion's wrong. Whether it's mine, yours, or anybody else's. And that thing can become a snare to people. They're literally caught by that. You say, well, that's the problem with false religion. No, the problem is they're willing to trust their religion over what the Bible says. They're willing to trust what their mom said or their dad said or their heritage is, rather than trust what God's Word tells us. Now, friend, look at me this morning. I will promise you this at Shasta Baptist Church. You come here, we'll make our case by God's Word. We'll prove what we believe by this Bible right here. Because that sets us free. See, the Bible says, Jesus said in John chapter 8, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That enables us to have the liberty and real freedom that a person is supposed to have by the Word of God. For some, in the transgression of an evil man is a snare. For some people, it's the snare of false religion. For some people, it's the transgression of misplaced priorities. I could not tell you how many times as a pastor I come across people in soul winning, or they come to visit our church, for instance, and we come back to visit them and they say, well, you know, I need to get in church, but I have to. And they've built an entire life outside of God's place, where God's will for their life is. They have misplaced their priorities. And now, look at me, now what's more important to them is what's more important than what God expects of them in their life. And they're snared by that. And isn't it interesting? It's always, like for instance, if it's sports, then they go from one sport to the other sport. So now they're in between the NBA championship thing or whatever it is. And so baseball. So you ever notice how some sport thing is going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Man, if you're a sports person, I guarantee you there's ESPN 14 for you. And there'd be people said they'd rather sit there and watch a ping pong match in China than go sit in church because their priorities are all messed up. They have misplaced priorities. And those priorities have ensnared them. They get involved in clubs and organizations. And those clubs and organizations take precedence over what God tells them to do with their families and on their Sundays. But, after all, I'm a member of so-and-so, so I have to go. That's a snare. Well, that went over like a ham sandwich at a Jewish picnic. But the truth of the matter is, that's exactly right. Do you understand? Transgression means to violate the Word of God. Now, that's in any area and in any way. So if I transgress God's Word, the Bible says in that transgression, there is a snare that captures me. What happens to a person who grows up in church all their life, goes to church all their life, and then when they become young adults, all of a sudden it's out the window? What happened? They misplaced their priorities, and there is a snare in that transgression. Well, then what's the answer, Pastor Johnson? The answer is do what the Bible says. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The answer is do what God's Word tells you to do. Because thereby you set yourself free from the snare Satan has provided. In the transgression of an evil man, the Bible says there is a snare. Now let's go to Proverbs 29, drop to verse number 8, please. Here's another snare. Scornful men bring a city into a snare. Now notice that statement. Scornful men bring a city into a snare. A scorner is someone who says, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but I don't agree with that. I know what the Word of God says, but see, I don't happen to agree with what the Bible says. I know the Bible says this, but you know, that's not my opinion. Then they literally scorn it or they speak against it. The Bible says a scorner brings an entire city into a snare. See, when a person comes to a church that preaches the Bible and they sit there and shake their head no while the preacher's preaching. Now, everything I say is not Bible, but when I preach the Bible, then you're saying no to God's Word. And we scorn when we reject what the Word of God says. America today is a nation who has lost its spiritual, financial moorings. We've lost it. We have lost our minds. This nation does not understand anymore, and we're raising an entire generation of people who cannot make a biblical decision, a sound moral decision, without testing the winds of political correctness or thinking that what they think is more important than what God says. This Proposition 8 situation now here in America, here in California, excuse me. Two times the people of this state have voted their will. And there's a group of people, the homosexual community, who opposes this and insists that they have their rights while they force their belief and practice upon us. Now, the homosexual crowd isn't the problem, however. The problem is that a bunch of people who are in the middle of this thing who say, well, personally, I'm for marriage between a man and a woman, and that should be marriage, but I don't want to push my beliefs on anybody else. It's that middle-of-the-road crowd that needs to get something besides sand for a backbone and say, this is what I believe. This is what the Bible says. This is what's right, and stand up for that. And because we speak against it, the Bible says this, it brings an entire city into a snare. That'll happen this morning. We'll give an invitation in a few minutes. And we will invite people who need to know Christ as their Savior to come and receive the Lord as their Savior right now, today. But I guarantee you there'll be people who will come with folks this morning, and before they make their decision, they're going to look down the row and see who goes first, or if anybody goes at all. I've seen husbands, a wife turn to her husband, and the husband, no. And she wants to make a decision to trust Christ, and he says no. And she stands there. He just encouraged the city in his scorning. You never question and deny and doubt the Word of God without taking somebody with you. You're going to influence other people in that decision, and therein is a snare. You know, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me carefully this morning. When God says something in His Word, and it's very clear, and we say, yeah, I know that's what it says, but that's not what I'm going to do. The Bible says in that scorning there is a snare, and we lead others in the process with us. Well, it's not, they shouldn't pay attention to what I do. That's true. I made a decision look here, folks, look at me. You're looking at an old hippie from the 60s. Raised in California, raised in the public school system in this state. Every man marches to the beat of a different drummer. Henry David Thoreau was one of my great heroes. That philosophy of do your own thing, baby, let it all hang out, all that stuff is how I grew up. It's the way I thought. It's the way I lived. And when I walked into a church like this for the first time in my life, I thought those people were from another planet. I thought, how in the world could they be so authoritative and so black and white and right and wrong? How can they be like that? Don't they understand there is everybody thinks their own way, and we've got our own way to think about things. Don't you understand? I know, ladies and gentlemen, I understand, but you must understand this. As I listened to what the Word of God said and I compared it to the way my life was and my thinking was, I made a very simple decision. I'm not going to question the Word of God. I'll submit to the authority of the Bible. And that simple decision turned me from a scorner to one submissive to God's Word. A scornful man, the Bible, scornful men bring a city into a snare. You never want to question what God says. You don't want to say, yeah, well, see, that's how it is for some people, but that's not how it is. If God said it, that settles it. Otherwise, it creates a snare, the Bible says. And guess what? Then we're captured by the god of our little mind. And now what I think is just equal to what God says. That's an old satanic trick, friend, from way back in the Garden of Eden, when Satan slithered down the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and told Adam and Eve that they could be like gods, knowing good and evil, make up their own mind about right and wrong. No, sir. We don't do that. The Bible determines that for us today. Scorning is a snare. Go now to verse 25 of Proverbs 29, please. It says, fear of man. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Fear of man. That means I'm afraid of what people will think. That's why some of you this morning, you know you need to get some things straightened out in your life, but you're more concerned about what the person sitting next to you thinks, or what your family's going to think, or what your friends will think. You're more concerned about their impression of you than you are what God knows about you. and the fear of man bringeth a snare. What's the number one reason that average Christian does not witness and talk to others about Christ? They're afraid of what people will think or say of them. That fear of man ensnares us, and now we are captured by this thing. We are so concerned that someone's going to think we got religion. You won't get religion here. You'll get Christ, my friend. And he will change your life and make you a different person. And after that, you know, it's amazing how that when you receive Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If I'm different than what I was before I got saved, people are going to notice that difference. And you know what? They may or may not like it. And the fear of man will bring a snare and it'll hold on to me, and I'm so concerned about what people think. We have let this world program us, and I'm afraid oppress us into thinking, well, if I do that, what are people going to think about me? Rather than saying, if I don't do that, what is my God going to know about me? I've got several illustrations going through my mind. I refuse to give them now. I told Brother Evans before I preached today, I feel a case of the stupids coming on. Pray for me. Fear of what friends what it might cost me with my friends. Well, if I do that, I'm not going to be able to do what I did last night again. Good. If it was wrong, you shouldn't do it again. Fear of man bringeth a snare. Boy, if I go to that Shasta Baptist Church over there, everybody in town knows what that church is like. Yeah, if they know what we're like, we're honest, we pay our debts, we do our best to have a good reputation in our community, we love people, we run buses, we go house to house and door to door, we preach at the Rescue Mission, we support missionaries, we preach the Bible straight up, just like it is to people just like they are. And that's a bad thing. Fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible says. I'm so captivated by what people think. It holds me back in my service. It holds me back in my surrender. It holds me back in my dedication. And fear of what it would cost me in the sight of others will, the Bible says, will ensnare me. It'll keep me from going forward and being what God wants me to become with my life. It says again, look, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. August of 1975, I got right with God after being out of the will of God for 10 years. And you know what? That hot August night of 1975, when I got right with the Lord for the first time in quite some time, it messed up my life. I had everything planned out. I had everything planned out for my life. I wasn't one of those kind of people just kind of drifts along and let life come as it may. No. I had everything planned out, what I was going to become, what I was going to do with my life. I had found a job that I really liked. I was pursuing that. It had been a good career. Air traffic controller. Really liked the job. Enjoyed it. Still like telling people where to go. But the truth is, it's a little different philosophy. But the truth is, I enjoyed that, and I look forward to it. I was excited about the job. I liked the pressure. I liked everything about air traffic control. I loved it. I would have started air traffic control when I was 21. I could have retired at the age of 41. I wasn't just one of these, you know, drifting along, can't figure out what I want to be when I grow up people. I had it everything planned out and laid out and everything set and good to go. The hot August night of 1975, I had one more piece of the puzzle. I needed to ask this young lady to marry me. She had been writing to me when I was overseas in the military. And I got home and we dated for, 2 weeks. Don't do that, by the way. That's the wrong way to do things. But I knew. And I knew she knew because, you know, it's a package. And thank you, brother. I told you I said a case of the stupids coming on. It's just going to get worse from here on. Took her to Miller Park, Sacramento, California, hot August night of 1975 to ask her to marry me. My life was all put together with the exception of God as a first priority. And she was the last piece of Mike Johnson's puzzle. Sitting on that table in Miller Park, Sacramento, California. Full moon, shaft of moonlight going across that blonde hair and those hazel green eyes. I looked at her and I said, Patty, will you marry me? And she looked at me with those hazel green eyes and she said, I don't know. I said, pardon me? Pardon me? She said, I don't know. And she didn't say it like, I don't know, or I don't know. She said, like, I don't know. And I say, okay, wait a minute. Let's back up a second here. Let's get this. I asked you to marry me. You know, ring, ward, June, the beeve, the fence, the house, the kid, the dogs. I mean, marry me. You understand? She said, yes, I understand. I said, so will you marry me? And she said, no, I don't know. What do you do? It's not yes, and it's not no. So what do? I just sit there. By the way, let me just say this. That was a clue of how it would go once you get married. You can spend a lot of time sitting there going. I don't mean to be unkind, but there's two ways to figure out women. We just don't know what they are. That's the hard problem. That's not an insult. You ladies are very complex, wonderful people, so please understand that. I just sit there. Man, I don't know what to do. It's like going on a blind date. It turns out to be your sister. What do you do? I don't know what to do. I sit on the table for a while. And then my favorite one, she turns to me, she goes, are you okay? I say, yeah, you want to be friends? I mean, what do you mean, am I okay? I don't know. I just sit there for a while and I go, well, I'll take you home. Oh, okay. Oh, now you're okay. All right. Yeah, that's good. Got in the car. My brother and his wife had gone with us. We drive her, drops her off at the house. I just sit in the back seat. Take her to the front door. Good night. Good. See you. She goes, are you all right? And I go, yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah, fine. Yeah, good. Got in the car. Went to my brother's house. He said, okay. He knew I was going to ask her to marry me that night. He said, how'd it go? And I go, you ain't going to believe this, man. He goes, she turned you down? I go, well, no. She said, yes. And I said, no. He goes, well, what else is there? And I go, I don't know. That's what she said. I don't know. But what in the world do I do with I don't know? I don't know what to do with that. Bud, tell me what to do. My brother looked at me and he said, I don't know. I said, come on. What is this? I don't know. I don't know what to do with I don't know. And he said, I don't know either. I said, I don't know either what I'm going to do. I went that night and I laid on that bed in that little house in the corner of Alta Arden and Markston. My brother told me right before I went to bed, he said, your problem is you want it your way instead of God's way. And she's not going to marry you if you're not going to do right. There's no way. Now look at me. I didn't go to the room that night and say, God, if you give me that beautiful blonde-haired, hazel-eyed babe, I'll get right with God tonight. Mm-mm. I just got right with God for the simple purpose to get right with God. That was August of 1975. Say, well, did she ever say yes? We've been married 34 years this December. Yeah, Howe Avenue, just not too far from there in Sacramento. We're driving down the road, and a couple days later, a week later, and I turn over her and I go, you're going to get married or marry me or what? She said, yeah, I guess so. And I go, all right. Hey, hear the violins? Truth of the matter is, I didn't get right with God because I wanted this beautiful lady to be my wife. I got right with God because I realized I was so afraid of what it would cost me to do what God wanted me to do with my life. I didn't even know what it was at the time. And the fear of man, look at me. The fear of man had this guy with his life all put together, snared. Because I was afraid of what it would cost me in the sight of people and others and in my own mind to do what God wanted with my life. Fear of man bringeth a snare. Captures us and we're like animals caught in a trap, forever dragging that leg and can't get free. But it's not because Satan is powerful. It's because we fear what people think more than what God knows. And so that's why we don't go forward in our life. And that's why we don't do what God wants us to do. And that's why we won't surrender this thing. That's why we're Sunday morning Christians who pop into church and pop out. And we've got our whole life built, but we just can't seem to get going in the Christian life. Because you're snared, friend. He's got you snared, and you just can't get loose because you won't do. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe, the Bible says. You trust him and you'll be free. You'll be more free than you have ever been in your entire life. The Bible tells us that God will give us the victory to deliver ourselves in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26, to deliver ourselves from the snare of the devil. We don't have to have a support group. We don't have to have backup. We don't need Dr. Phil. We got Dr. Jesus. And with his word and by the truth of God's word, the Bible says you can deliver yourself from the snare. Amen. Literally reach down, take your foot out and say, for once and for all and forever, I am now free to be what God wants me to be. Not me, Pastor Johnson, not me. Nothing's got a hold of me in my life. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. Would you heads bowed and eyes closed?